From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch, thanking you for joining us for today's program. During this next 30 minutes, Dr. Cairns will address an important issue facing God's people in these days. It is a hot topic. In addition, there will be some Christ-honoring sacred music. Most important, however, will be the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. As Dr. Cairns continues dealing with the life of Christ, he is speaking of Christ being the Lord of the Sabbath and being superior to the temple from a text in Mark chapter 2. In this portion of the message, we see that the Lord Jesus exposed the externalism of the Pharisees' religion. Dr. Cairns will preach that portion of the message in just a moment, but first he deals with today's hot topic, revival, but not according to Finney.
I recently heard a part of a recorded message from a famous preacher, now dead, that dealt with what the preacher saw as the greatest hindrance to revival in America today. In his mind, that hindrance was the sin of partial obedience. Then he quoted Charles Finney as an expert witness in favor of his thesis, Finney saying something to the effect that revival is a renewal of obedience. Now, I have no complaint about exposing the sin of partial obedience. We're all guilty of it, for none of us does any good thing perfectly. So if we have to wait until we arrive at perfect obedience to God before we can see revival, then we'll never see it. Of course, that's not really what the preacher meant. He rather intended to highlight the hypocrisy of deliberately covering disobedience to the known will of God under the cover of obeying Him at some other point. He quoted the scripture truth that to him who knows to do well and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Certainly such hypocrisy is a hindrance to the blessing of God in our lives. As far as that goes, the preacher had a point. But two things alarmed me. First, I heard no very clear definition of revival other than the quotation from Finney. Revival's not a term to take for granted, as if everybody knows its meaning. To most people today, it means a brief series of special evangelistic meetings planned and promoted by one or more churches. We've all seen the billboards, Revival, Sunday through Wednesday. But that's not revival. Second, I was alarmed by the preachers quoting Finney as an authority on revival. I know that to many this comes as a shock, for most of us have grown up hearing that Charles Grandison Finney was a great revival preacher. In fact, Finney's contribution was to corrupt and derail a genuine movement of revival and to lead it away from its biblical moorings. He was a great exponent of the theory that men could, to use his word, promote revival. And to this he added a grossly inadequate view of sin and salvation. Finney employed what some have termed a scorched earth policy of evangelism that resulted in a lot of temporary decisions, but no lasting work. Anywhere Finney had one of his so-called revivals has never since. Now, of course, we're talking about almost 200 years, has never since known anything of a gracious moving of the Holy Spirit in gospel power. A few years ago, the Billy Graham Association blamed this on Finney's faulty follow-up work. That's nonsense. The fault lies deeper. Finney was a perverter, not a promoter, of biblical revival. So what is revival? Basically, it's a sovereign work of God in which His Spirit visits His people with quickening power and demonstrates the mighty power of the gospel. It is a work that results from Spirit-filled praying and preaching of the gospel, without any of the psychological gimmickry so present in claimed revivals today. It brings an awesome sense of the holiness of God that drives men to Christ in all the merit of His righteousness. Thus, it purifies saints. It brings sinners to salvation and has a profound and lasting influence upon the community around, sometimes affecting the life of a church or a town or even a country. Revival starts with God's dealings with His people. Let us then make Psalm 85, verse 6, our urgent prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation, and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, a little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stand, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there is any way in which we can help you, please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. So you see, it's really easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. It's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Alas and dear.
Let's learn that it's what the Savior says about us that matters. And if He commends us, then let curse who will. Let them curse, but bless thou. That's the stand of the Christian. As long as I can look my Savior in the face and know that He commends me, I can say, who is he that condemneth? So, if we are not condemned of the Lord, let's not be too concerned about the opinions of men. I want you to notice that as soon as he defended them, his defense was an appeal to Scripture. And his use of the Scripture was twofold. Think of what David did. And then think of what the priests did and still do every Sabbath day in the temple. And his use of these really shocked the Jews. Now, that was bad enough, but on another Sabbath, maybe the very next Sabbath, he went to a synagogue. And there he saw a man with a withered hand. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders come and they say, hoping to trap him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? So he in turn asks a question and he turns their question and he says, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Or is it lawful to do evil on the Sabbath day? And there's a very pungent thought there, and it certainly got into the hearts and minds, as we would say in Northern Ireland, it got up the nose of these Pharisees. The pungency of it certainly struck them. You're asking me, is it lawful to heal? Well, let me turn the question, is it lawful to do well, which is what I would be doing if I heal this man, or is it lawful to do evil, which is what you're doing in seeking to tempt me and criticize me and use the law of God against the very Son of God? Now you tell me which is lawful to do. And so he healed the man, thus reigniting the controversy about the Sabbath. Now as I read those things, it became very evident to me that the Lord Jesus Christ was deliberately entering upon this subject. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was deliberately challenging the Pharisees. You might even say provoking them. He certainly wasn't running away from the controversy. He wasn't doing his good deeds on the Sabbath day in a corner. He drew attention to them. He demanded that they look at what he was doing. He demanded that they listen to his defense. He demanded that they face his challenge. And I think he faced them with that challenge for two great reasons. First, to expose them and the carnal way in which they had externalized their religion. To the Pharisees, everything was external. They had all the laws down and they had added to the laws innumerable of their own traditions. All the time departing from the Word of God in its purity and hiding it under the cloak of professing to be loyal to it. So to expose them, but also to expound the evangelical message of the Sabbath and the entire Old Testament revelation as it was fulfilled in him. And as he did those two things, the Lord Jesus made two great claims about himself. Notice that when he gave the defense, and especially about the priests laboring every Sabbath day in the temple, they were working. But you wouldn't say they're breaking the Sabbath. Why? Because they're working for the temple. Jesus said, I'm greater than the temple. And then he said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. And here are the two great claims that the Lord Jesus says, he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's the superior of the temple. Now let's think first of Christ as the Lord of the Sabbath. The Jews understood very, very well what that meant. The Lord Jesus was laying claim to be the Creator. Who was it who first set and sanctified the Sabbath? It was the Lord Jehovah. It was the God of all creation. That's who did it. And they quite understood this. When he said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath," he was declaring in no uncertain terms that he was the Creator. Furthermore, he was making it clear that he is the one who says what's right to do and what's wrong to do on the Sabbath day. Now, I want to emphasize that. I'm not going to preach on the Sabbath this morning. I've done that. And I have no doubt we'll do it again. This New Testament of ours does not teach what many fundamentalists say it teaches, that the Sabbath is merely part of the ceremonial law, or that Christ abolished the Sabbath. Far from it. In fact, had he done so, he would have contradicted what he himself said. For in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, we read, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He fulfilled the Sabbath. He did not abrogate it. What he did was to remove from the Sabbath all the incrustations of the Pharisees, the things that they had added to it that robbed the people of the blessing of the Sabbath day. For you know, the Lord did intend the Sabbath to be a blessing. He didn't intend it to be a burden or a curse. He intended it to be a blessing. We read that the Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't made simply for the Jews. The Sabbath did not come into operation at Mount Sinai. The Sabbath was made for man, and it started with the creation of Adam. Adam's first day on the earth was a Sabbath day. Never forget that. The Sabbath was made for man, to be a blessing to him. It was for his good. It was for his health. It was for his rest. It was for his home. It was for his family. It was for his worship. The Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't meant as a means of killing all human joy. It was meant for increasing human joy. Let me tell you, the further men get from the Lord's institution, and the further men get from the Lord who instituted the Sabbath, the less joy they have. What is right on the Sabbath day and what is not right? Clearly from Scripture, there are things that are right for Christians to do, for God's people to do every other day of the week, that are not appropriate for the Sabbath day. That's very obvious from Scripture. You read the book of Nehemiah and you'll discover how that should be put into practice. So there are things that may be morally right other times, and they are morally wrong on the Sabbath day. How do we decide? Simply this: what the Lord says is right to do on the Sabbath day is right to do. What the Lord says is wrong to do on the Sabbath day is wrong to do. In Britain, historically, because Protestantism was very strong in its influence throughout the British Isles, England, Scotland, Wales, and at least the northern part of Ireland, the Sabbath day was a day recognized by saints and sinners, by government and by business. It was a special day. And then came attempts to bring in what we call the Continental Sunday. You see, wherever the Church of Rome ruled, there never has been an emphasis on the Sabbath day. So every one of you dispensationally minded people, whether you're Baptist or Bible Church or whatever, or every one of you renegade Reformed who are following certain notions that you find among various Reformed people now to get away from the keeping of the Sabbath day, remember who your bedfellows are. Wherever Rome has ruled, there has never been an emphasis on the Sabbath day. Never. And so the continent of Europe, having fallen largely under the power of Romanism, had what we called a Continental Sunday. That was the day for sport. That was the day, when they had gone to Mass in the morning, and they were now back in favor with God, so they could get back on to the real life of doing whatever they liked. And slowly but surely, as men departed from the gospel, in Britain they brought in the Continental Sunday. And today, just as in America, most of the great sporting events, there are still some of which it's not true, are now in the Lord's Day. But here's the thing. I can understand, though I do not commend it at all, I can understand the worldlings doing that. But what is happening is that now we have very few Christians who are willing to stand by the plain teaching of Scripture that we do what Christ allows on the Sabbath day, and we disallow what He disallows on the Sabbath day.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.